Welcome back to We're No Experts. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Hamilton.
And I'm your other host, Jim Martin.
Man, I feel like I'm going to ditch the host voice. It's been episode 69, by the way. Congratulations. It's been
just in time for Bill and Ted Face the Music, right?
Have you seen it?
No, have you?
Yeah, dude, I watched it.
Like the whole 69 thing, like that comes back. I feel like the first time I really had a reference for that, like my frame goes to the that bit where George Carlin asks them like to think of a number, and of course that's what they both come up with.
Right? You're misremembering. So that's in the first movie. It's when Bill and Ted from the future come back and meet Bill and Ted in the parking lot of the Circle K, and Bill, I think it is, has the idea. How do we know that you're really us? And then they think of the number. Yeah. Yeah,
well, obviously I haven't seen that too many times, but okay.
So when I saw it, I was like 8 when that movie came out. And when I saw it, of course I didn't know why that was funny, but I just thought the delivery was funny. The fact that Bill and Ted both thought of the same number with no discussion, just because they're like so similar to one another, it was hilarious to me.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things where I'm barely slightly older enough than you are. I was probably like 11 or 12.
Okay, so you were right there.
Right, just old enough to like have maybe understood what that was, but you know.
You were that joke's target audience even.
Yeah, maybe on the young side of it, but yeah, yeah, yeah. So I feel like that was the first time I really kind of something like that would have hit home and worked on me.
So I can tell you, Face the Music, I enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, don't go in with expectations that it's a cinematic masterpiece by any means, but there have definitely been worse sequels. I will say that.
You're setting the bar pretty low.
Well, yeah, I really am. But I'll tell you what, I can also give it some super high praise for you. So I don't know if I brought this up before, but my wife Sonia doesn't really like movies per se. Like, she's not a person who goes out of her way to find movies and expose herself to a lot of different movies. And as a result of that, there's a lot of movies that she just hasn't even seen. And I didn't realize this. She had never seen either of the previous Bill and Ted movies. And so she went in to Face the Music cold. And I had no idea what her reaction was going to be, but she actually really enjoyed it, man. She was like laughing out loud and stuff. I was pleasantly surprised.
Nice.
And so we went back and watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure a few days ago, and she enjoyed that too. I think she's really in for a treat when we get around to Bogus Journey, though.
Really? Because it's not as good as Excellent Adventure.
You know, you say that, and I would have agreed with you prior to my most recent Excellent Adventure rewatch here, but there's some dead weight in Excellent Adventure. They could have cut a few minutes out of that movie and made it a lot tighter. And yet there's a lot of stuff that you can tell was already cut. Like, it is kind of a mess. But anyway, I still love it. I still love, Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey. I think Bogus Journey in retrospect is probably the stronger movie. And I look forward to rewatching that, and maybe I'll report back on the show insofar as anyone cares. Maybe we should do a poll. What's your favorite Bill and Ted flick?
I mean, there's only now 3 to choose from.
That's true, but there's also a comic book series. There was a very short-lived live-action TV series, and there was an animated TV series.
There was, huh? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Anybody that you would recognize as having done the voices?
I doubt it, man. But like the way that voice acting goes, where, you know, there's kind of these same 10 people who do all the voices on all the shows and shit. It was probably Billy West or someone doing one of the Bill and Ted voices. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but occasionally you get one of those things like the Bill Murray Garfield thing, or I think I referenced last week, didn't I? Or 2 weeks ago in the last episode. The Uncle Phil as Splinter.
Shredder.
Oh yeah, Shredder. That was it. I got it wrong this time. But yeah, you get the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you get those kind of things where I guess maybe at the time I wouldn't have known who the hell he was, but you know, later on you find that out and you're like, no way. And then you go back and listen and you're like, oh, sure enough.
Yeah, I have no idea who did any of the voices, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was a little cameo, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe in one of those episodes. Again, I never really saw the animated series, but I don't know, maybe they got George Carlin in. He seems like the kind of guy who would have done something like that, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to look it up. I don't even remember it existing, to be honest. I'm sure it was short-lived.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it had to be, two or three seasons tops, right?
If that, right.
But anyway, I think, like, looking back, comparing it to something like Ghostbusters 2, as enjoyable as it is and as memorable as it was, is a wretched movie. That is not a good movie. And compare it to the first one. Oh my God, there's no comparison. The first one is a better movie in every respect. And I would have said the same thing about Bogus Journey, but again, I think childhood memories of that first movie are probably very kind to it. So as an adult, I think I'm going to be able to appreciate, not that I haven't seen Bogus Journey as an adult, but it's been a long time and I've seen a lot more movies of different types since then. And maybe
I don't think I've seen it as an adult.
Oh yeah.
No, I really doubt it. It's certainly been at least 20 years. And so if I've seen it as an adult, I was barely an adult.
Well, I think the last time I saw it was like right around the time that DVDs were getting kind of big and everyone, you know, had a PS2 and whatnot. Pizza Hut did like a pizza and movie night promotion where they had a few flicks that they would include with your order. I don't know if it was like you got to choose or if it was at random or on a schedule or what, but you would order like, I don't know, two large pizzas and they'd give you a DVD that was just like, you know, dirt simple, fucking full screen, no extra features. DVD just, you know, to get you to buy a pizza, right? And Bogus Journey was one of the discs. And I think the last time I saw Bogus Journey, it was probably like 2002 or something like that when Pizza Hut did that promo. And in fact, I found the DVD in a box under the bed the other day. Great story. And then I found $50.
So you're talking about a little bit of flashback, you know, shows, movies. I tried to watch fucking Cobra Kai on Netflix the other day since it's now on Netflix and it was, I guess, on YouTube or something before that I don't get.
Yeah, it was like a YouTube original series, right?
It's so fucking bad though.
Is it really?
Have you not tried to watch it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Let me know. Try it. Let me know. I could not get very far into it before I was like, this is garbage.
Well, reviews seem to be pretty kind to it, man. I remember it got a little bit of hype, but like, not enough for me to subscribe to YouTube Red or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? YouTube Red or YouTube TV?
I think it's the same thing, right? It's just been rebranded.
Is this a HBO Max, HBO Now, HBO right. Pro situation?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. But anyway, give it a try. I see if you can get further than we did with it. I was watching with my wife and I would have stuck with it a little longer, to be honest. But she's like, you got to turn this off. And I understood why completely. I was like, yeah, this is bad.
Well, it's mostly Ralph Macchio that's bad in it, right?
We didn't even get far enough so that he really even showed up.
No way.
Right. Like, I'm talking maybe 20 minutes in to the first episode.
The whole thing is you're coming back for him. And what's the guy's name? William Sabatka? Is that the actor's name that plays the Cobra Kai guy?
Johnny.
Yeah, sure, but the
just
actors.
Call me Johnny.
Okay,
I
fine.
I don't know, man. Nobody knows, okay? Right, it's Johnny and Danielson.
Okay.
Well, I guess, yeah, Ralph Macchio, people know his name.
Can I say, speaking of, though, movies that were insanely popular on DVD from 20 years ago that star Keanu Reeves, you like that segue into our main topic here?
We're going to talk about Speed? I didn't even know that's what we were doing today, right?
No, we're not talking about Speed. Oh, all but right. Also, Jesus, speaking of disappointing sequels, ugh, that Speed 2.
On the boat?
Yeah.
Without Keanu,
that's right. Sans Keanu.
Yeah, sorry, Sandra, but it just wasn't very good.
No,
not
it wasn't.
Her fault.
Do you know what, though? Miss Congeniality was pretty good with her. if you haven't watched it.
Yeah, she does plenty of good movies.
Yeah.
But just not that one.
Yeah. Who was the villain in Speed 2? I'm misremembering it as Christopher Walken, but there's no way that's true, right? Was it Willem Dafoe?
It could have been. I don't know. Does he say quick quiz, hot shot? There's a bomb on the boat?
I think it was actually pop quiz, and that was on the first one. No.
I know, but you just switch out the word bus with boat, right?
Oh, yeah. It's basically the same movie, right? I don't know. Yeah, who was the villain in that? I'm going to look that up. Oh, it was Willem Dafoe. No. The main topic. So this was your idea, man. Go ahead and ease us into it.
Well, before
you got a funny thing, right?
If we haven't wasted enough time already, yeah, because it wasn't going to be talking.
My
about
bad,
Bill and Ted. Yeah, I wanted to this. I was just thinking about this the other day. Have you ever tried to put your pants on? Like, yeah, okay, so when you're putting on your pants, you do it one leg at a time, right? Where, I mean, despite what people might think about podcasters, we're just like everyone else, right? I mean, we put our pants on one leg at a time. But do you always do the same order, right? Like your dominant leg first and then your, you know, secondary leg second?
Okay, I don't know, but my gut says whether I do or do not, I think my preference at the very least is my non-dominant leg. Well, wait a minute. What the hell does dominant leg mean?
I mean, like, if you're right-handed, you're probably right-legged too, if that's a thing, right? Like, whatever you'd kick a ball with.
I don't think I put on. I wish I had some pants to put on, and I'd tell you, but I don't think I put. I'm right-handed. I don't think I put my right leg in first.
Well, look, this is fucking radio, Jonathan. Just take yours off and put them back on, and we'll all wait.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm wearing shorts, believe it or not.
No way. I don't think I've ever seen you wearing shorts before. I don't believe it.
Well, so I was telling Sonia, like, you know, jeans are too heavy, but I wear these like athletic pants and they just don't breathe, man. And I'm like, I'm dying over here. And she said, you should just get some athletic shorts. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I got two pair just to pilot it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm feeling it. I'm digging, working from home with my shorts on. I don't think I would, you know, wear shorts out in the world necessarily, but it's a positive.
I have Adidas athletic shorts, elastic waist, the stripes down the fucking side, gray with black stripes. I have two pairs. They're the exact same. That's basically all I wear now. It's fantastic. I'm wearing a pair of them right now. But anyway, so the other day I'm putting on pants, right? And it occurred to me, like, I always do this, right? Like, first, whether I'm, most of the time I'm standing, but even if I'm sitting.
You put your pants on standing.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say even most of the time.
I gotta say, like, I don't dwell on the idea of aging, and I'm not particularly worried about the idea of aging, but I do think about, like, I could put on pants standing up without a second thought if I had to right now, but one day I probably won't be able to do that anymore.
Yeah. That's funny. I was thinking that in the shower the other day when I went to pick up my foot to wash one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a little slippery. And then, you know, I set it down and I picked up the other foot. And then I was like, I wonder at one point, what point does this become a bad idea? Or do I have to get one of those fucking shower mats, like, so you get extra traction or something?
Well, you know what? Everyone should have one of those things, unless you have one of those tubs with, like, the textured bottom already. But even then, no. I think you need a shower.
It's not even a tub. It's just a stand-in shower with, like, you know, tile on the bottom.
So you're putting on your pants standing up.
Yeah. And it occurred to me, like, what if I tried the other leg first? For me, my left leg.
Okay.
It was weird. It wasn't, like, hard, like, where you're going to fall down giving it a try. But it's certainly weird. And so I was just wondering, how weird is that? Am I normal? Or is this just a me thing?
No, I think it's normal to want to test your limits, so to speak. Was it harder? Did you notice?
Yeah, it was slightly harder, but it wasn't, like, actually something I would call hard.
I wonder if I would notice a difference. You know, Sonia and I were real big into the Wii Fit back in the day. And one of the things that it would run you through was like balance board type stuff, you know, to see how long you can stand on one foot without, like, shaking too far to the left or the right or whatever. And we got quite good at it. And I want to think that I've kept some of that stability, even though that's almost certainly not the case.
Well, hey, here's your challenge between now and a fortnight. And for anybody listening to, give it a try. Let me know what you think. Is it, I don't think it's going to be harder. It's just going to feel weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Maybe people don't think about it this way. Maybe some folks, I don't know, mix it up on their own, just, you know, naturally.
Now, when you get dressed for Throwback Thursday, is it harder to put your pants on backwards like crisscross?
No, because those pants are really big and usually they're overalls. And so I just step right into them.
You're right. They're overalls, right? Especially
for
on
me,
that.
They are.
On that totally crossed out album cover, I'm pretty sure they're wearing overalls, right? And is it?
I think they are, man, with some starter jerseys and maybe a hoodie.
And they only got like one of the clasps, I think.
Oh, you gotta be either one strap in it or no strap in it.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you just look like you're in fifth grade or something.
Yeah. So the other day, we're never gonna get to this topic, by the way. This is what I was. You're gonna remember this, but nobody else will, because I think it's come up before. But, I was telling my wife about, I think I called her a bugaboo. And so naturally what comes up right then, Jonathan? Well, like, what do you think of when I say that?
I feel like you're expecting me to know the answer and I don't.
It's Ed OG and the Bulldogs, right?
Oh, okay. No, that is not the first thing that comes to
oh,
mind.
Okay. Well, it was for me. So naturally I have to bring up YouTube and find the video. And yeah, Ed himself. Is watch the video. You'll love it. Is no strap in it, through the whole thing. And it's great, man. Everything feels great about that. It's like I watched it and I just like got warm and fuzzy and I was like, man, like everything about this, it reminds me of being young and I love it.
Do you think you could pull off an overalls look? I'm not saying like a cool hip hop overalls look, but any overalls look.
I mean, I used to, but I think I could again. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't look too stupid if like, I'm just a 42-year-old man walking around with overalls with no straps. I mean, I'm sure that would be fine.
Well, what's the, you know, people, when you say 42 years old, I think a lot of folks have a mental image of what that looks like. And I don't think you're really that image or you're not fitting that same image for what
well,
it's worth.
Good. But thanks. I've been working hard on my dad bod.
what's the like number one coordinating accessory to pull off an overall look, do you think?
Oh,
does it come down to the boots? I feel like your footwear is the key thing.
Yeah, because you don't have to have a hat on. It's probably your footwear. Yeah. That's a good call.
Yeah, something to think about. I don't think I'd be going out in my little, you know, canvas Adidas wearing some overalls.
Yeah, that would look pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I wear a lot of sandals, man.
You gotta have some like big bold boots or something.
You do.
All right, something to think about. Maybe for the winter, maybe I'll try out, since I'm not gonna see anyone for another 2 years anyway, probably. Maybe I'll try out some overall fits.
This goes back to trying a new look. Now's the time to do it. I'm going to find a pair, Jonathan. I'm going to find a pair of overalls. And I'm not talking about like some fucking Dickies or Carhartts that people would actually wear for work. I want to find a pair like I used to have back in the early 90s.
Your Oshkosh?
Maybe the late 80s. Yeah. And I'm going to rock the fuck out of those. And
right
it's
on.
It's going to be great.
All right. So it's almost 20 minutes in. We should probably get to the damn thing.
All right.
So what are we talking?
So it was this is something that I thought of a while ago. And it goes back to Keanu himself, right? Because I thought of The Matrix when I thought of this. And that's if you could learn one thing through what a lot of people would say learning through osmosis, you've probably heard that term before, right?
Yeah.
But what I thought of is kind of like how Neo learns in The Matrix. But you can only learn one thing that way, right? Like it's just like you don't have to actually study. It's just kind of zapped into your head, right?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
And like now you know how to do that thing.
Okay.
Like one skill, what would that be?
Okay. 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 So I've got some prior experience with this question, man, because I used to play a tabletop role playing game called Shadowrun, which is like a cyberpunk deal. And this is before The Matrix, right? They had the concept of downloading skills to your brain as part of the game. and they had rules for it even. And one of the cool things you could do was, you know, pick out the skills that you wanted to like slot in to your head, so to speak. Oh, geez, somebody's blowing me up on the phone. Let me decline that. I hope that doesn't come through in the recording. I'm so paranoid hear it, about
so
that.
I don't think anyone else will. But there's a mute button on your phone, Jonathan.
Well, I put it on mute. I put it on mute. But, you know, the problem is, well, it's really my fault. But anyway, that no point getting into a tangent on that. Where was I? Oh, yeah, you slot in whatever skill you wanted to your brain. You know, and then you could use that skill, right? And, of course, it was all stuff like shooting guns and driving and stuff like that. And in the Matrix, they carry on that tradition, obviously, because Neo learns all types of hand-to-hand combat. And, like, Trinity learns how to fly a helicopter real fast, if I remember correctly. So it feels like there's definitely a slant towards physical stuff, if that makes sense.
Right. But one thing I will say about that, right, and this is to keep it as realistic as you can keep a topic like this, the helicopter thing would be fine, right? You can learn how to fly a plane, and once you get in, imagine you just know where all the controls are. It's like you've done it a million times before.
Okay.
But knowing how to do martial arts, like your body doesn't, you know, there's no metamorphosis happening here.
No, no, hang on now. Wait a damn minute. I see where you're going. I was going to ask a question about this, but I got to tell you, you're already wrong coming at it from that perspective. Because Bruce Lee said, man, he's not afraid of the man who knows 10,000 kicks. He's afraid of the man who's practiced one kick 10,000 times. So, like, even if you're not, even if you don't change physically, like, you don't have, like, a martial artist body, you know what I mean? Like, there's still something to be said just for pure repetition and familiarity and expertise.
If that's your belief, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, hey, just because in your head you know how to execute it, you still got to do it, right?
Well, so let me ask you this. I don't want to get too bound up in talking about the world of the movie, right? But in the movie, so Neo learns that shit and he's using it in the Matrix, and Morpheus points out, man, his muscles don't matter. How strong he is, how fast he moves in the real world don't matter in the Matrix, right?
Yeah, because he's in the Matrix,
right? The Matrix. But are we to believe that Neo still knows how to fight in the world of the real?
I mean, I don't know.
He's got
to,
right?
I wasn't gonna go that deep into the whole Matrix thing. It was just like, it was just an easy way to explain kind of how it works, but not like, not specifically like exactly like that. Right.
Yeah. I mean, okay. The question that I was going to ask is what are my limitations? And one of the examples that I think will set this in stone for us is, could I download how to lift 500 pound weights?
No,
of course not, right? Because my
body. Yeah, you could. In theory, you could, right? Because there's a technique to it, so you'd have the technique, so you'd know how to approach it without like.
But I couldn't
help yourself.
But I couldn't like accomplish it without additional work.
You got it right. Yeah, like just okay. Because like I can download basketball skills doesn't mean I'm going to be able to dunk. Right. Like I might be able to jump a little higher because I know the better technique to use, but I'm not
right.
Suddenly Spud Webb. Right. Like I'm still short. I mean, could I accomplish it at some time with a lot of repetition and practice? I guess. But like the whole point is to take away the need for all the repetition and practice. Right.
So
that might like, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. That's still a decent answer, but I'm probably not going to go that route. I'll tell you that because
right. Let me ask you this then. Can I do like pure facts, download the first 10,000 digits of pi and recite them from memory perfectly?
Yeah, you
okay.
can do that.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I download, like an algorithm basically? You know how people can throw out a date and they can tell you what day of the week it was within a couple seconds because they know the pattern or the instructions for figuring it out mentally?
Sure.
I can do that. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
All right. But stuff that you can't even like you could learn to play an instrument, I assume.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And you could probably also learn how to do karate and shit. You might not be good at it physically, but you would know the forms, right? And you would stand right and move your legs right, move your fists right, right?
Yeah, and you'd probably get a lot of it right, I would think, just by knowing that. And what you don't get right, it would certainly take a lot less time to get good at than it would by not knowing that stuff first. Okay. So yeah. Right. Yeah.
All
right.
So I think I've got a couple of different answers. Do you want to go or shall I go?
Go for it. Yeah. Okay. You're ready.
So the biggest thing, like not really changing anything else about my status quo, you know what I'm saying? Like I wouldn't change my job over this necessarily. I wouldn't become an overnight celebrity by any means or anything like that. I would want to download how to fucking cook, man. I just want to, if I could just instantly be useful in the kitchen, I think that would be the biggest bang for my buck because I'd be a lot more self-reliant, and generally helpful around the house. I think if I just knew some cooking basics, but the thing is I'm too lazy to proper learn, you know what I'm saying? Like to properly learn how to do it. I just got no knack for it and I feel like it's not worth the effort. But if you remove the barrier of the time that it takes and the cost of making mistakes and shit like that and the frustration and it just beams in, then yeah, I'm all about it. Let's cook.
Yeah, that's a good one. I can appreciate that because I have something that's pretty damn similar
Let's
to
hear
that
it.
That I thought of. Carpentry.
Really?
Yeah.
So
basically the same reason. That's like, I think I could get a lot of mileage out of it in the sense that it would save me a lot of money. Like I'm always envious when somebody can make something instead of buying it or fix something themselves in their house and I'm hiring somebody to do it. And I'm just bad at that. And so to know how to do that offhand without having to like waste so much time looking it up and figuring it out, just to have that knowledge in your head, I think would be very useful.
Now, this is when you say carpentry, right? I take that to mean specifically like it's primarily woodworking, but yeah. Is there more to it?
I mean, I don't want to push the envelope of, you know, how much, you know, I'm not looking for a loophole here of what I just think that if it's like kind of home maintenance and building skills, carpentry is probably the most useful for me.
Oh, yeah. I'm just definitionally.
Like it doesn't, I don't think that's going to make me. It might make me slightly better at HVAC work, but it won't make me actually know how to do it necessarily, right?
Like I want to wire my house for Ethernet, but I'm kind of like hesitant to do it because I think I gotta, you know, pull new cable through the walls in some places and whatnot, and change out some cable jacks to Ethernet, and I feel like I'm gonna have to cut a hole in the drywall to do it in some places. And I don't want to do it because I feel like I would suck at patching the drywall.
Yeah,
does that carpentry covers that?
Yeah. In my mind, it does that. So when I'm saying that, I'm thinking I would be able to do that. Not the the electrical work, right? Like I would still, you know, not be great, but I think I'm good enough to get that stuff down to like, you know, put a new outlet in a wall. You know, I can do that kind of thing moderately well already, but the thing that I can't do that I hate is actually cutting the drywall and then repairing it when I'm done. And so that is what I want to be better at is that kind of thing.
So what's the trade-off? Okay. So this is just so you can avoid calling a contractor probably twice a year, ultimately. Like there's things that you spend a weekend doing that you could probably wrap up in an afternoon if you were more skilled. And then there's things that you're completely not qualified to do that you nonetheless need to call someone out for on a fairly regular basis, right?
And you could save a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be useful, like, you know, we've talked about having an additional outdoor deck space, right? And what if you were just like good at it and you could just knock it out and you're like, oh, there's no need to hire somebody to do that. Like I'll just fucking do it and you just knock it out yourself.
Well, so, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but, did your dad teach you anything like that?
No, not really. No.
Is it just not his, interest or what?
Here's one of the problems though, and this is where this concept falls flat for me and why that was one of the first things I brought up because it introduces this other idea and it also is why it won't actually be my final answer.
Mm.
I don't like doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And that's, I have no interest in it. And that's why, like, even trying to learn it, I'm just like, no, I'd rather hire somebody.
But okay. But so, wait.
Using it for like a money saving kind of thing, because it seems like a smart thing to do in order to save money.
But listen, let me ask you this, because this is something I've wondered about before. A big reason that you don't like it, you don't enjoy it, is because you feel that you're not as good at it as you need to be or as you could be, right?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I really think even if I was good, maybe if I was good at it, maybe if the knowledge was just zapped into my head, I would enjoy it. But like even learning it, like I have no interest in doing it. I'm like, so even if I knew it tomorrow, I still won't have the tools. I'd have to go out and buy tools and set aside a space in my garage. Right now, it's just like, I don't want like that clutter in there. I don't like doing it. I have no interest in doing it. Like, I don't want to own that many tools. Like, I try to get away with the minimal amount of stuff possible. And when I need to buy something, I'll try to buy something good so I can use it again. But my goal is to really not own a lot of those types of things, because I get no enjoyment out of it. And it'll just, even spending a few hours on the weekend doing, like, trying to fix something, I feel like it'll ruin my weekend. Like, it was a waste of time.
Well, see, I feel like even if you were instantly good at something, you probably still wouldn't enjoy it, because my hypothesis is it's the practice and getting better at it that enables you to ultimately achieve enjoyment. And I feel like it would feel very hollow. Like, if I just woke up after downloading, and was able to cook a fantastic fucking meal, yeah, it'd be nice to be able to serve that meal to people, but I still don't think I would really enjoy the cooking, because I would not be able to reflect on the path that I had taken to get to that level of mastery, right?
I hear you.
And I wanted to ask you, because this is something that I think we actually shared this experience, and I want to get your take on it. You remember learning SQL starting out, right?
I'm still learning in SQL, Jonathan.
Well, but you remember like the first few queries that you ran and the first few, sorry. So SQL, for those who don't know, is, basically like a language for asking questions of a database to get information back out of it. And it's, you know, it's a skill. It's something that you got to learn. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's even a skill that pays the bills. Am I right?
Literally a skill that pays the bills. When you were writing your first few SQL queries and then finally got to a point where you needed to do something tough, like bring a join in,
something tough.
Well, no, but it was hard initially, right? It was a little challenging.
Yeah.
You didn't necessarily.
Yeah, it was. The concept of joins in or out or joins stuff. We're losing so many people right now.
No, but wait, well, just let me.
It's hard at first.
But
yes,
let me get to it. Right. But so today you don't really think twice about it. Like, most of the time you are fluent enough with it. You are expressive enough with it. And that's a key thing, that you can just kind of fire off what you need and there's no friction, right? You get right to the point. Like, you're talking to the database and you get what you need, right? I'm not saying it's fun, but there's a level of pleasure to that. Like, it is pleasant to be able to do that. Do you agree?
Yeah, sure. I agree. Yep.
And
I see exactly where you're coming from.
Right. But thinking about as you're doing it, And you kind of know what you're doing already, because you've learned from mistakes and because you've internalized these concepts, that to me is what's making it pleasant. And I think instantly downloading the equivalent knowledge and familiarity, while it might be gratifying at first to be able to shortcut it, I got to think that you really wouldn't actually enjoy the actual, you know, act as much as if you just learned it the old fashioned way.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I'm not saying that to, you know, be like a fuddy-duddy or anything. I think there's stuff that certainly I'd rather just hit the easy button on, but that's an important consideration for your final answer, or at least it is to me. Like, what is it that I'd see value in doing even if I didn't get that sort of pleasure from it? And I think that changes a lot of the dynamics of how I answer that question.
Well, what is one of the other answers that you think of?
Okay. So, you know, we talked about having kind of like low level type superpowers in an earlier episode. And I had talked about climbing and knowing how to climb things right. I think kind of along that same line, I would sort of like to the a little bit of musical knowledge, at least in terms of being able to identify keys and stuff like that on the fly, and knowing, like, you know, what notes are in what type of chord and stuff like that, and knowing my circle of fifths and all that shit, just having it down cold, like instinctively, even if I wasn't writing music. I think I'd like to just shortcut attaining that knowledge and just kind of have it automatic. Yeah, music theory, right.
I'll give you that.
Just because I think that would deepen my appreciation of music to some degree. Not so much that, like, I think knowing theory and just understanding things through the lens of theory in general, not just with music, is fine and good and useful, but I don't think it's pleasant, or at least I don't think it's pleasurable, I should say. Like, because what are you doing? You're patting yourself on the back for how smart you are or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's different versus something where, you know, here's a skill you put into practice versus here's a way of thinking that you've learned. And I feel like if I just woke up thinking about things a different way and having a different set of facts and perspectives at my disposal, it wouldn't really matter where they came from. Does that make sense? I feel like that's pretty abstract.
It makes sense to me. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So I think the music would be a good one, because I could put that into practice every day. You know, every time you hear a song or whatever, you could kind of unpack it a little bit and, you know, learn something that you didn't know before about that song.
But to some extent, you're separating the difference between the skill to actually play an instrument and the theory involved.
That's right.
You can't be good at an instrument. So if I say I want to be good at, you know, the accordion, like, I would, that's my answer, then I'm going to need at least some level of theory to be good at it. I know that there's some examples, you know, you can say Django Reinhardt couldn't read music, right? But he had some kind of theory. He must have, right? I mean, there's no way you can't know that you're playing some scales or these notes or at least these patterns that you've identified go well. You know, you have to be able to tell what key you're playing in, right?
That's right. That's right.
Some kinds of theory.
Like, Reinhardt might not have been taught a formal theory that other people came up with, but he formed his own theory. He internalized his own, he developed his own internal understanding, even if he couldn't, like, express it in the same common terms that other musicians might. Does that make sense?
Right. And I agree with that. So, but you're saying, like, and the two are different, right? Because there's plenty of classical musicians that aren't, like, necessarily the greatest at, you know, improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading Paco de Lucia said something about when he went and played with John McLaughlin and Al Di Meola, like, learning to improvise more. And I thought that was pretty fascinating, because he really wasn't doing it before that. And I was like, that's amazing, because the guy was, you know, a fantastic guitarist in his own right going into that, and then, you know, became, like, just unbelievable. So I think I do see what you mean, that you can certainly use both, but to some extent you have to have one. I guess you don't really have to have, in order to be a good musician, you probably have to have at least some level of theory, but in order, like, you could have theory and not know how to play an instrument at all. So is that what you're saying? Like, you just want the theory, like, you don't really want to put it to use as far as playing goes? Because I guess you could have that knowledge in your head. You could sit around and read books about music and understand the theory, but never really put it to practical use.
Yeah. Well, I also got to think that there's some trade-off here. Like, there's only so much room in your brain, maybe. Like, if I'm not going to become, like, a concert pianist or whatever, what's the point in downloading How to Play the Piano if I'm just going to wind up forgetting something else or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, what's the minimum that I need for it to be useful to me? and also, like, you got to consider, okay, so you're downloading these skills, right? But where did that shit come from? Who actually authored that information? And another way to put that is, did somebody, like, sit down and key out, here's how you can play the piano? Or did they just, like, record someone who knows how to play piano going through the motions and kind of reciting everything they know and kind of pull that off the brain, right? Because not all of these skills would be created equal. You would get, if you wanted to play guitar, right, you'd get a very different experience downloading the way Eric Clapton does it. You see what I'm saying? Versus, you know, your Django Reinhardt, to go back to that example.
Yeah, but let's just, for the sake, to keep it simple, that you get whatever you want out of it.
Well, yeah, sure, sure.
So that was your goal. That's what you're going to, like, whatever you imagine. Like, you don't have to get too detailed here. You're just like, hey, I would like to be able to play like this. And boom, like, you can, you know. Or, yeah, like, you don't have to get overly complex with it.
Well, so this, I think this kind of leads into another big obvious one that I suspect might be one of your choices. Do you want to throw out your next choice?
Well, before we leave that, I think I would use playing instrument. Like, and it probably would be guitar, because I already, it's probably the instrument I play, I hate saying this, the best, because I'm bad, but like, out of what I do play, I probably do that better than anything else, sadly enough. So I think I already have a little bit of like the dexterity involved in so forth, like the knowledge in order to be able to do it would, like, it's the least amount of distance I have to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that if I got what I wanted out of it, like, over the rest, those hurdles I'm never going to get across, right? It's taken me 20 years to get as far as I already am, and it's not very far, to be honest. So if I could be, you know, if I could be Paco de Lucia or John McLaughlin tomorrow, just wake up then, and I could play like that, like, that would be fucking awesome. And then I wouldn't have to, you know, take all that practice to get there, which would be, I'd be okay to shortcut that. And I would get a lot of enjoyment out of it. Quite frankly, I could just sit around. I can already sit around all day and play, and I'm just not very good. And I already know that, like, it's not making me any better, because quite frankly, I'm lazy and I don't do the things in order to strictly become good. Like you're talking about, like, sit around and do theory and play scales and things like that. I just like to play. But I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. So I think that I would get a lot of enjoyment out of it just as much if I was awesome. And it wouldn't necessarily need to be, you know, to make a profit on, to go around and just be like, oh, look, now I can go and people will be amazed. And that would be kind of cool, I think. Don't get me wrong. You know, that'd be fun to just, you know, show off your skills a little bit. Having a skill you can show off would be a little fun. Let's face it, right?
Have I mentioned before that I kind of just want to learn how to play, like, I don't know, 12 or 14 bars of something complicated on piano, just enough to get people at a party to be like, oh, wow, he's really good. And then that's all the piano playing I know.
You could probably do that if you worked really hard at it. It would take a long time, because you'd have to slowly go through, right? Like, learning. But you're right. Like, I think it wouldn't necessarily make you good. Like, if you just, you know, worked really hard to get, you know, one thing down, like a bit of a song.
Yeah. But
I think you should do that. That's very funny.
Do you have any recommendations for good songs to do that with?
Flight of the Bumblebee is kind of short, and it'd be pretty impressive if you just busted that on the piano.
I'll give it some thought, man. Speaking of giving it some thought, though, you know what messes me up about this whole concept? So let's say that you're going to download some guitar playing skill, right? And you're going to get like some like classical guitarist type joint, so that you get the music theory foundation to it, right?
Yeah.
If you were jamming with somebody and they said, okay, so I've been working on something. What we're going to do is, you know, play this, what is it, Mixolydian scale or whatever. Like, you'd know what that was, but how would you know that you knew it? How would you access that information? Because if you didn't know anything about different types of scales, that's like the first time you've heard that word even, right? Like, what's the mechanism? What happens in your head to get you to the point that you can use the information that got stuck in there?
It's just like anything else, like, that you've learned. It's just there and you can just access it. You don't think about accessing it when somebody asks you something that you've done a million times, to go back to SQL or something, right?
But you, like, know that you know it.
Somehow already there. Yeah, you just know that you know this. Like, don't overthink this, man. Like, it's not like we don't have to get into that part of it. I mean, we can if you want to, but in my mind, it's just like, it's just there. Your brain reaches for it and it's just there, like something you know about. And so when somebody says, we're going to do it this way, you're like, oh, okay, cool. I know what you mean.
So,
and you don't have to like stop and pause and think about it for a second. Like right now, if I look at sheet music, I can read it, but I'm bad at it, like really bad. Like I have to sit there and look at it and think about the notes and the fucking, like go over the whole, you know, like every good boy, you know, does fine or whatever. And that kind of thing. Right. And it's bad. Yeah. But it'd be great if I didn't have to think about it. Like if I just looked at it, I'm like, no, I know what this is. And just could sight read that.
Well, it's on my mind though, because it's only a matter of time. If it's ever going to be possible, it's not that far away. It's maybe a century, two centuries at most before we figure it out, I feel.
Well, we're never going to see it then.
Well, you don't know that, man. People are living longer all the time. Oh, climate change though. Never mind. Yeah, we're fucked. Yeah. But if it weren't for human caused climate change, it is something that's attainable in short order, going by like the fucking hockey stick of human development, right? So like, to me, it's interesting to think about, what is that experience going to be like? If I download this skill to my brain, does it feel different? And can I tell that it's not something that I spent time learning? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is it basically artificially flavored learning?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for this fantasy example, I'm going to say no, but who knows? Like if what you're saying, if we actually ever get there, if how that would be.
Do you think it's possible that like if someone else, if you and I downloaded the same guitar playing, would we play like extremely alike to the point where we had, like, you don't think so?
No, because we already have different influences going into it. That wouldn't change. Like we have different personalities. We already have different, likes and dislikes and, you know, just because you have the ability, you'd still, model what you can do and how you'd use that ability differently, after what you do and don't like.
But if it was like something simple, even like just play Mary Had a Little Lamb, you don't think that we'd play it exactly the same, you know what I'm saying? Like same fingers on the same fret at the same time type stuff.
No. No, I don't necessarily think so. No.
Okay. Okay. So what's another one of your picks then?
Okay. So, and this just comes back to the whole, a lot of this, I guess, just comes back to the laziness and like, you could do this. Like the guitar thing's a little different because I don't think I will ever get there, right? I mean, I could get okay if I played, you know, I practiced the right things.
Okay.
Carpentry, I could certainly get better at, but again, I have no interest in it. This I have an interest in, and like, it's certainly obtainable, you know, by all means. It's just, I guess it's pure laziness, and that's a foreign language.
Yeah, man, that's the big one. Like, I'm surprised it took us this long to get to it.
Well, I think it might wind up being the answer.
Well, what language are you thinking?
Well, I personally, I'd probably go with Spanish because I just think it's the most useful. And if you're not going to use it, you're going to lose it. Right. And I think that'll be the same just because all of a sudden I know how to do it. Like, doesn't mean I'm going to remember if I'm not using it, but I get the opportunity to use that all the time. And I don't know it. Exactly enough. But like, I can't think of like, I could force myself to have the opportunity to use a different language. You know, if I wanted to learn Mandarin or something, you know, then I would, you know, be able to, I could probably find some movies to watch.
But that's the best bang for the buck, right? Is learning Chinese, because that shit's supposed to be hard as hell.
Yeah, sure. But I'd want to be able to use it and talk to people that I'm going to see, not just to watch movies and without putting the subtitles on.
Yeah, but there's like a billion people who speak Chinese. There's plenty of people.
So you just go on the internet?
What do you mean the internet? There's so many Chinese people that live in this state.
How often do you run into them?
Like every time I go to any of the Asian markets, for sure.
Yeah, that'd be useful.
I mean, there's the, it's not Chinese, but there's the Korean market right across from the house that we hit up for groceries, man. And like, they hardly speak any English when you go in there. Like, if I could speak Korean, then great. That'd be really useful probably, because who knows what I'm missing out on by not being able to engage with those people on that fundamental level, you know?
Yeah. I have a lot of Spanish speaking people. Like, my neighbor doesn't speak English well at all. And it'd be great, like, if we could converse better.
But see, here's the thing about Spanish, right? The reason why I wouldn't probably choose Spanish is because, like, number one, the alphabet's close enough that I can already kind of read it. My elementary school Spanish classes and middle school Spanish classes was enough that I can get the very bare minimum basics. You know what I mean? Like, it's something where if I did put in a little work, I could get a lot better at it very quickly, better than I am now anyway, versus something like Japanese, for example. I'd have no shot with Japanese as far as practicing it with people and whatnot, just because I don't run into a lot of Japanese speakers, or at least Japanese speakers who'd care to speak with me. You know, like, there's not as much, what do you want to say, immersion. I don't have as much immersion opportunity. And I know that I just said there's all type of Chinese people if you wanted to learn to speak Chinese and whatnot. But, like the point is not about Chinese and Japanese and whatnot. It's about Spanish not being as difficult to get good at. You know what I mean?
For me, it's difficult enough that I'm not going to get there anytime soon.
Okay. All right. But so think you'd go for Spanish?
I do. Yeah. But I don't think it matters, like, what your choice is. I think the idea is the same, that learning a foreign language would be cool.
Well, so let me ask you this. You would get what, like, are we talking like super fluent?
Yeah. And,
okay. So yeah. Your vocabulary, you would know all the words that you downloaded to your head, which means if we learned from the same Spanish DVD, right, we would have the exact same vocabulary and the exact same understanding of what those words mean?
Yeah, except let's say for the sake that, like, in the magic way you download it, you actually are going to sound native. Like, well, you're going to be able to pronounce words properly and enunciate things correctly, instead of the person that just learned that. You know how when you just learn in high school or whatever and you've taken 4 years and then you actually go on the trip to Spain and you don't sound right, like that kind of thing. Like, you're actually going to be able to, you're going to have the knowledge to use it in a way that's going to make you seem authentic.
Well, yeah, that's fine, but that's not what I'm getting at. What is like the working everyday vocabulary in Spanish? Is it something like 4,000 words or something like that?
Well, I don't know.
Well, you know, they sell like language courses on that shit. They say, like, you know, you learn, if you learn this many words, like, you'll be considered proficient in this language. You've seen before, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I know that they sell courses, but I didn't know that there was, I've never heard anybody talk about a specific number of words or anything. No, this is the first.
I would not want to learn, like, just enough to get by in a language, because you would come across as native speaking a very limited vocabulary, and that's fine, but the moment that you hear an unfamiliar word, you're kind of fucked. If it's not, especially if it's not a word that has, like, a lot of easily picked apart, you know, cognates and root words and shit like that, that you could kind of figure out what it meant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's just say you're going to be as good at it as you are as your actual first language. So in this case, you know, you say words all the time that I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. So my English isn't even that great, but at least I'll be every bit as good in whatever the other language is. Like, it'll barely even be my second language, right?
Okay.
Like, yeah, like, it'll be equally as good as you are at your first.
That's a good one, man. That's a really good one. And I guess you'd be able to, like, if it was a different alphabet, you'd be able to write in that language too.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's super good. That's, like, so powerful, because, you know, you'd just be able to communicate to understand and be understood by so many more people, period.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I have to say, it'd be great. I don't want to get too into depth on this, but being an actual, like, second generation Mexican American too, that doesn't speak Spanish, I get people talking to me in Spanish on a fairly regular basis that, like, I have no idea. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're saying. And like, sometimes I get that look of disappointment in somebody's eyes and it's kind of heartbreaking, to be honest. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, sorry. What the fuck do you say to that? And
you say off topic. I think you say lo siento.
We don't get like, you know, I don't want to get too one personal and too like something that's not like, you know, I try to tend it a little, keep it a little bit more lighthearted here, but yeah, I think it would be useful. And from that regard, I would like to be able to do it, and not in an embarrassing way where you're right. Like you come off as saying something that just sounds like horribly, wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's a little scary to me too. So it'd be great to just have it zapped into your head where you could do it right, you know, from day one. That would be kind of nice.
The thing about the language though is it's useless in a desert island situation. Like if you're on your own, suddenly you're getting like no benefit from that probably.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if that's something you're worried about.
Well, think about like if it was a disaster preparedness kit type thing where, you know, you had, you know, for emergency use only, you're going to get, you know, this will last 30 days, but it's very dangerous for your brain. So you can only risk doing it once, right? Short term, you would hold off on doing it until you absolutely needed to. And you'd want it to be something that would only come up in like a critical situation, right? Like your first aid kit, you'd have a floppy disk with fucking CPR on it or something like that, just in case. You know what I mean? Like there's so many variables that could change your answer on something like this. And like, I kind of hate that we've gone almost an hour already because I feel like that's like fertile for discussion.
Yeah. Did we skip any kind of skills that would like maybe even better humanity? Like could you learn how to be a surgeon and actually put that to good use then?
You know, yeah.
Doctors Without Borders kind of thing, right?
Yeah, man. Or like, an even like lower level question, like how does your answer to this question change if you were a different age than you are now? Like if you had the opportunity when you were 10, what would have been the better choice? Or if you had the opportunity when you're 70, what's going to be the better choice?
Well, I'll tell you, when I'm 10, it's hockey. Because now I'm a 42-year-old, as we said already. And like, I mean, look, I got okay at it. Like, you know, I grew up playing travel hockey, but like, you know, I was never going to be a pro. But when I was 10, maybe I could have, right? Like, maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe if I would have been awesome, like that could have happened. But now that ship's long sailed, right? Like, I don't think I could get through a season. It'd be way too physical. So yeah, so that, there you go, that changes. But now guitar, I'm still fine. There's plenty of 42-year-old badasses.
What if you could just cop a high school education overnight, man? You're 10 years old, you could just skip school.
I mean, that's not, how useful is that?
You'd get like a 8 or 9 year head start on a lot of people.
Nah, I'm good.
You don't think? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I would just squander that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. No offense.
No, it's true.
Yeah. It'd be tough to capitalize on for sure. Yeah. Like for anyone. Yeah.
You'd be better off learning, you know, anything other than that. Like, I mean, what high school education is only so valuable. I have one. And believe me, it ain't great.
Boy, let me tell you, hundreds of people graduated alongside me.
Yeah.
And, what about at the end of your life though? Do you think like there are things you wouldn't bother with if you were like bedridden already, and advanced in age? Like you're not gonna bother with the guitar probably, right?
No, you're right.
And even the language is sort of diminishing returns.
Yeah. Hell yeah. If you're really old, yeah, I don't even know what you pick.
Yeah. It's tough, man. How about this? Well, first of all, if anyone else has some dope ideas that we haven't even considered, write in mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com, tweet at us @noexpertspod. I can't believe it took me all episode to get that in. But think about this, man. What is it that you've got now that you think might be worth putting out that brain floppy disk for?
Well, this goes back to an earlier episode, Jonathan, where...
Are we good at anything?
Right.
Yeah.
The answer to, we already answered that. If you don't know, look it up. I don't have it in front of me. We need a better way to search our old episodes so I can have that pulled up and ready.
Well, there's only fucking 68 of them as of this recording. So, you know, you put them on a sheet of paper, man. Just go print it out.
Are we indexed on Google? Can I just do the insight thing and then type in the keyword that I'm looking for?
I actually have no idea.
This makes for great podcasting, by the way.
Yeah, that's what we do, man. We'd upload our podcasting skill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. People would love to have our ability at doing this.
I'm inclined to agree with you that it would probably be a foreign language for me as well. That seems to be the right answer because that's going to open so many doors to other experiences and other knowledge that you're missing out on. Do you ever, I don't know, we got some pretty different interests, but do you ever find yourself like really interested in a topic and it turns out that like the primary source on that topic is in a different language and it hasn't been translated and it's like inaccessible to you as a result?
I can't say that's happened very often, though.
I'll tell you what I just ran into, dude. partially inspired by Bill and Ted, I got to thinking about Joan of Arc. And I was like, you know, man, I really don't actually know that much about Joan of Arc. Like, I basically know, like, the cartoon character version of Joan of Arc. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe this is, like, a person that... she sounds interesting. Maybe it'd be worthwhile to learn a little bit more about her. Let me see if there's a book I can read, right? So I go looking for books, and there's a couple of good books about her. But, like, one of them is a book written by a guy who went back and translated a bunch of, like, primary sources. Because, like, there are documents of, like, her testimony and the testimony of people who knew her and grew up with her and shit like that that were, like, you know, recorded when she was actually on trial for heresy or whatever. And that's fascinating. It never occurred to me. I just thought it was, like, oh, it's so long ago, like... things were so different. Who knows if there are even documents or like it's all secondhand now. But no, this dude went back and went straight to the primary sources and was able to put together translation, extensive citations and shit like that. And it's fascinating to me. And it's like, I'm fortunate because I speak English and there's an economic incentive to do that. And there's like an academic incentive to do that. But that's not the case for most of the world's knowledge. So there's like all this stuff that you'll basically never learn or even have the opportunity to learn because you aren't going to learn the language. Doesn't that mess you up?
So your answer is now French.
Well, maybe Middle French or whatever the hell they were speaking back in the 15th century.
Right. Cause it wouldn't be the same, right? Even a modern day, French speaker would still probably not be able to read that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or, maybe some of it, but they'd certainly not be familiar with all the terminology because the vocabulary changes, even if the grammar is still familiar.
It's like trying to read old English right now for us. Yeah.
I think it's probably much harder to read old English for an American English speaker.
Oh, okay. Sure. I can see that. But either way, it's hard if you've ever tried it. I'm like, no, I'll give up on that really quick.
Oh, well, shit, man. If you go back relatively recently in history to the 18th century and you try to read some of the English written by the founding fathers, it's tough.
I know what
man.
You mean. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, that's modern English in the broad sense of modern. Like it's the same rules mostly. They just were pretty lax about spelling a lot of the time. All right, so I think that's all I really have to say on that topic at the moment because we're running over.
Yeah, well, we missed some things. We'll certainly come back to this.
Yeah,
it wound up being better than I thought it was going to be honest. So, yeah, I like it.
All right, do we have any little tidbit, any observation type thing to close out on?
Nah, I'll save anything I got for next time since we've come this far already. But always good to hear from people, so... write us, give us some content ideas, and I hope everybody's doing well.
Yeah, that's right. Mailbag at noexpertspodcast.com. Tweet at us at noexpertspod. Hey, even if you don't have an idea, topic, suggestion for an episode, just drop us a line. Let us know how you're doing, right?
I agree. And if you like the show, Rate us on whatever, wherever you find us.
Oh, are we doing that now? Oh, it's episode 69. It's a milestone we got to.
What, telling people?
To rate and review?
Yeah, we've done that before.
Subscribe, have we?
Whenever I remember. Believe me, Jonathan, I've done that every time I've thought of it.
Right on. All right. So either way, we will see you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. 2 weeks.